in the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Let me read the first 5 or 6 verses here, this 5th chapter. The writer is Paul the Apostle. He says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." We mentioned hope this morning. Man without Christ has no hope, has no God, and he has no Savior. "And hope maketh not ashamed." Hope, a good hope. It's a gift of God. It exceeds, hope exceeds from the knowledge of who God is. God is love. "Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God," the love of God. Paul somewhere told those Ephesians brethren about comprehending the love of God. You remember? Somewhere here. That they might comprehend. I thought it was in the book of Ephesians. Maybe it's not. Anyhow, getting back to this 5th verse. "Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us." And Paul to the Ephesians said that he prayed for them that they might be able to comprehend. They might be able to comprehend the love of God, the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of the love of God. What? Ephesians 3:18. I'll read it then again. Well, you can see here he's talking to the church of God and the church of the Ephesians. And he said, "You might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Praise for them that they might come to that knowledge and understanding of the greatness of the love of God, the mystery of the love of God, height, breadth, depth, length of the love of God. And then over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he calls this love that he speaks of in Romans, he calls it charity. He says in verse 8, he says, thy charity never faileth. And in verse 13, he says, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. That's the love of God. And back over here in Romans again, chapter 5 and verse 5, he says, and hope maketh not ashamed. Of course, a man's got to have Christ as his hope if he's got a good hope. And so it's without being mistaken, he's talking about a believer who has Christ and he has a good hope. And the reason he has a good hope is because the love of God is shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Now, there is a love which God has as the God of nature. That is there in the first part of the book of Genesis. It says that God finished His work and He looked upon that which He did on His creation and He said it was very good. So God does bear a love to creation. And it is certainly the work of His own hands. Because He said it's very good. Whatever God does is good. But the love of God that we're talking about here, this aspect of the love of God, as the writer says here, is shed abroad in our hearts, in the hearts of the believer. This love far exceeds as heaven exceeds the earth. There's that much difference between the love of God that He bears to His creation and the love of God which is shed abroad in the heart of the believer. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these three is the love of God. So the love of God, no wonder he calls it a mystery. No wonder if Paul prays for the Ephesians that they might comprehend it. They might know the length and the breadth and so forth of it. All they are to know about it, the love of God. It's the love of God that motivates us. It's the love of God that winds up as our strength, our hope, and everything we need as a believer. So we ought to know as much about it as we possibly can. But this love that is shed abroad in the heart of the believer, God's love, as a covenant God, by the way, it's the love of each of the glorious persons of the Trinity. It's the love of the Father, the love of the Son, and the love of the Holy Spirit. And it was fixed on His people without any reason. There was no reason assigned to it as to why the love of God is fixed upon a certain people. That He fixed it upon in eternity past. Fixed His love upon a certain people, but He did give no reason why. No reason assigned to it except is according to His good pleasure. It was because He wanted to. Only His sovereign pleasure. Now you can't get beyond that. It was not because these people that He loved before time ever was. It was not because they was more lovely than the others. He viewed the whole scope of the human race, yet unborn, knowing all things. He viewed them all and He elected or selected or chose therefore fixed his eyes upon this one and this one and that one and that one. Not because they were more lovely than the others. Not because of something that he possibly could foresee in them. The only reason why he fixed his love upon them was according to his good pleasure. He would do it because he would do it, not because of anything in them. And those that he set apart and sanctified and put in Christ, chose in Christ before. Now, those people considered as sinners of the deepest dye. Now, considered as sinners, had God never loved us until we turned our hearts toward Him or turned our hearts to love Him, or till He had seen some purity or some beauty in us, He never would have loved us at all, because there never was anything in us then or even now that would cause God to pity us and have mercy. It was because it pleased Him to do so. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Trinity, shares equally with that love as it's given to us. God loved us because He would. And that's the only reason that He assigns to it. And this love of God is bound by His own sovereignty. We can't get beyond His sovereignty, not an inch, not a hair's breadth beyond the sovereignty of God as to reason why. Older lady told me one time that there was not one redeeming quality in any of us that would cause God to look in our direction. Not one speck of redeeming quality. And that opened my eyes to this business of sovereign mercy, sovereign grace, and according to God's good pleasure. Not one redeeming quality. Not one good thing in you that would turn God's eyes in your direction or my direction. He is bounded by His own sovereignty. And I've already mentioned here that when Paul, as he enters into this solemn majesty of the love of God, he stands amazed before these Ephesian people, and he prays that they might be able to comprehend the love of God, the height and depth and length and breadth. But neither angels or men can sound the depth, get to the bottom of it. Not even the angels of God can get to the bottom of the love of God. They can't measure the length of it, and neither can you and I. In the depth of the love of God, someone said one time and wrote it down, that it's deeper than our miseries. It's deeper than our sins. This love of God. It's deeper than all of our woes. And it's from everlasting to everlasting. And it reaches through all the avenues of time and even goes beyond the love of God. Charity, Paul calls it in 1 Corinthians. It's underneath the individual in whom God shed His love abroad in their hearts. It's underneath Him, It's above him, it's behind him, and it's before them. The love of God. In short, they are hemmed in on every hand with this love. No wonder Paul says here, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Not we talk about the Father's love, we talk about the love of the Son, but few times we talk about the love of the Holy Spirit. But in this passage here, it indicates, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the Trinity of God, the persons of the Trinity, which are equal and always in perfect unity, that the love of God, we have the love of God the Father, we have the love of God the Son, and we have the love of the Holy Spirit. No wonder he says you can't comprehend it. You can't get to the end of it, to the bottom of it. You can't tell how wide it is. The love of God is shed abroad in the heart of every believer. The weakest believer. The weakest. That one that says, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. That umbrella of love, that onrushing stream, never-ending stream of the love of God, is he's baptized in it. No end to it. Well, what induced God to shed this love of God in the heart of a believer? What prompted him? Why did he do this? What induced the Father to give his only Son to you and I, who were dead in trespasses and sin, who, as I've said, had not one redeeming quality in him or about him, pertaining to him, that would give God some joy? Well, was there anything? What was the reason? Why did he do this? It was because of his love. That's the only reason he's given. It's because he would, because he loved us. Not that we deserved it. We didn't merit it. We're as black as the darkness of hell. No reason whatsoever in us. The reason is always consigned or assigned to God himself. He would, because he wanted to. What induced God to send the Lord Jesus Christ and cause him to stoop, to come down to this lower world, this earth, and take upon himself our nature, apart from sin, to take upon himself our humanity, to suffer and to bleed and to die for us? What induced God to do that? It's the love of God. This love of God that cannot be extinguished. It cannot be quenched. It's there's nothing internal, external, that can quench this love of God that's shed abroad in the hearts of his people. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. This love. Oh, what induced the Lord Jesus Christ to lay aside his glory or clothe his glory with his humanity and leave the riches of his Father's house and come down here and be a man, take upon himself our nature and to be rejected and despised of men? Why? Out of love for us. Loved us. God loved us. Loves us still. And never will cease to love us. Isn't that an amazing thing? When there's not one good thing about us. Not anything that you could think of that would entice God to look in our direction. Love, this love, binds his people to his heart and will not let him go. Love him in our miseries. He loves his people the same now as he did when he was upon this earth. There was no change. You talk about God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That same love is effective now as it was then. It hadn't changed. It's still, you can't fathom it. You can't tell how deep it is. It's just insurmountable, this love of God. It's like a mountain that can't be moved. It ever flows from the heart of God to his people. Strengthens his people when they're weak. Encourages his people when they're downtrodden. When they're sick, he comes to their bedside. This love, God loves us. Never ceases. He loves his people the same now as he did when he appeared here on this earth. That despised Nazarene, that wine bibber, they called him. He sympathizes with all their heartaches and all their temptations. Knows all about them, first to last, from top to bottom. What can you say tonight here after these things that I've read to you here from the Scriptures about the love of God being shed abroad in my heart? Can you say, I believe that he shed his love abroad in my heart. He hath clothed me with the garment of his salvation and covered me with the robe of his righteousness. And has wrapped me up in the righteousness of his Son. Can you say that in your heart here this evening? Well, I'll tell you this. I believe most of you can. I believe most of you can say, this is what he done for me. He saved my soul. He hath forgiven me of all of my sins. He has cast them behind his back. Henceforth shall never remember them against me no more. Oh, yes, I've tasted the love of God. I found out that he's gracious. He's sweet and he's wonderful. Listen, the love of God, heaven itself has no more or no better to give than the love of God. There's nothing better. You have the best that there is. If you be a believer, if you have come to him empty-handed, and trusted him as your Redeemer, your sanctification, your wisdom, your righteousness. He's your all in all. If you've come to him and he saved your soul, not because you deserve to be saved, not because he's seen anything in you that he liked and said, well, I'll do something for this fella. He did it out of sovereign mercy and sovereign love, and this is the best that heaven can give. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about him who's full of wealth and riches and honor and glory and mercy. And this is the best that God can give, is his love. Why would a man spurn this love? If a woman loved you, or a man loved a woman, like God loves us, my soul, wouldn't that be something? Well, that's that illustration of man's love to his wife and his wife's love beggars the truth. That doesn't even get up the first rung of the ladder. Heaven gives its very best. Can't give no more than the love of Almighty God. Oh, it's a great thing to see a father love his children, the mother love their children, that they'll sacrifice for them and do for them and do without for them and all these things that mothers and fathers do for their children. But that's nothing. That's nothing compared to what I'm talking about. The love of God being shed abroad in your heart. Saving your soul forever. Keeping you saved throughout the time you're here on earth and through eternity, which is no end. No end to eternity. No stopping place. No falling off. Oh, the love of God. Listen. He has no better to give. Why? Because it's perfect. Perfect. It's perfect love. There's no offset in His love. There's no blemish whatsoever. He said, there is no spot. He talks about the believer. He said there's no spot in him. No spot, no blemish, no flaw. A perfect love. I loved him with a perfect. I've loved him with a everlasting love, an everlasting kindness. No end. I see no spot in him. Faith, the faith of God's elect, when they become conscious of what God's done for them in Christ, this love been shed abroad in their hearts, they say, I see no spot in me, because there's no spot in him. Perfect love has brought this about. Oh, there's no spot. And he beholds a blessedness in the righteousness of the Son of God that the Lord Jesus Christ wrought while he was here on earth, then freely imputed it to those that the love of God has been shed abroad in their hearts. This love of God is more desired than all this world. This love is shed abroad in the heart as God's gift to us. God's gift. Loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Loved us. God's gift. He gave it to us. Didn't pay it to us. Give it to us. Freely. He's given us the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful gift that is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He has given Himself to save us, to protect us, to guide us, and to do all in us and for us. That is what God has required of us. He has made us holy and righteous in Him. He hath forgiven us our sins. He suffered, was rejected, and suffered, and died, and bled, and rose, and went to heaven, and there He lives, standing for us. Standing for us, and pleading for us, and being our advocate and our lawyer, and showing His hands and His wounds, and begging for us. My soul, the love of God, which is shed abroad in our heart. Let me read it again now. And hope maketh not ashamed. You got that good hope. If you don't have Christ, you have no hope. You got a false hope. You have hope, but it's a false hope. This is a good hope I'm talking about. This is the hope that will see you through the foul weather and the howling storms that lies ahead. This hope will see you through. It maketh not a shame, because the love of God is just shed. That just reminds me of a waterfall. This waterfall, a black waterfall, Niagara Falls, the water gushing, running down. It shedding through the rocks and forms a insurmountable river below. The love of God, there's no depth and length and measurements to it. It's a mystery. It's a mystery how God could love us and send the Lord Jesus Christ to die for us. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, God's love sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for who? The ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath, the wrath of an angry God. We'll be saved from that wrath. How? Through Him, because of the love of God. For if when we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You can't get it any better than that. Won't be no better than that. The love of God. Well, let's quit that.